A TSA employee is charged with abusing a young girl. The bear is her back in European airspace. And a federal court strikes down a new runway. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, August 30th, 2011. It was disconcerting to learn that convicted sexual predators can be hired as TSA screeners, provided the convictions aren't recent. It became a bigger issue for some when invasive hand pat-downs began and were applied even to young children. A few TSA employees have been charged with inappropriate acts involving minors, and now it's happened again. The Elko, Nevada Daily Free Press reports that a city officer arrested a Spring Creek man Wednesday morning at the Elko Regional Airport, where he works for TSA, on a warrant charging 6 counts of lewdness with a child. The paper reports that Elko County Sheriff's Office was notified last month of possible sexual contact between 61-year-old David Ralph Anderson and a girl younger than 14. Court records say the victim told investigators that on as many as 10 occasions this year and last, Anderson taught her about various sexual acts and that they touched each other's genitals. Investigators say Anderson told the girl to sleep in his bed, would rub lotion on her body, touched her breasts, encouraged her to drink alcohol, French kissed her, and had her watch pornographic films with him. Anderson's being held on $250,000 bail. There's been no statement from the TSA on Anderson's future with the agency. NATO fighter jets again intercepted a Russian Bear Tu-95 strategic nuclear bomber flying deep in European airspace a few days ago. It's the fourth time this year the Russians have been caught flying where they don't belong and aren't welcome. Gizmodo reports that in the most recent incident a few days ago, two Dutch F-16s intercepted the four-engine turboprop bomber and shadowed it until it left European airspace. I think this is the military equivalent of a poke on Facebook. The Bear bomber first flew in 1952, according to Wikipedia, and Russia says it will remain in service till 2040. Well, so much for shovel-ready. Is your project court-ready? The U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has struck down plans by the FAA and other proponents for a third runway at the Portland-Hillsboro Airport in Oregon. Judge Betty Fletcher said claims the new runway would promote business growth at the airport were not substantiated. The review came about as the result of a lawsuit from three private citizens in the area who claimed the FAA had not done its due diligence in assessing the need for a new runway. The community has repeatedly opposed allowing scheduled air service at the GA Reliever Airport. Intel flies a couple of daily shuttles for its own people in and out of Hillsboro. Nike has a corporate hangar there. There's a busy flight school that includes a lot of helicopter instruction. Otherwise, it's pretty much your typical GA reliever, reporting about 700 operations a day. The FAA didn't help its case when it cited internal studies which said growth will happen with or without the new runway, which the court cited in its decision. In a dissenting opinion, Judge Sandra Ikuta criticized her colleagues for delaying the FAA's attempt to stay ahead of growth. The new runway, parallel to the existing 1230, had a budget of $17 million, and $13.7 million in federal and state aid were already approved. The FAA will have to do some further planning now and come back and try again. Any thoughts that the new government being set up by Libyan rebels will work better with the West than the old one may be fading. Last week, the rebels announced their new constitution is based on the principles of Sharia law, a disappointment to those who had hoped for a secular regime. On Sunday, the transitional government's justice minister, Mohammed al-Awlaki, announced that the new regime will not extradite Abdel Basset al-Megrahi, a former Libyan intelligence officer who was found guilty of the Pan Am 103 bombing over Lockerbie, Scotland in 1988. In 2009, the government of Scotland, where al-Megrahi was imprisoned, claimed his death from prostate cancer was imminent and released him after only 8 years of his life sentence. Family members of some victims were outraged at what they saw as a political decision to soothe relations with a major potential oil supplier. When he arrived back in Tripoli, a waiting throng gave al-Megrahi a hero's welcome, and he met with Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. The Associated Press reports that two senators from New York last week asked the Libyan National Transitional Government to hold al-Megrahi fully accountable for the bombing of Pan Am Flight 103, which killed 270 people. Senator Charles Schumer noted, quote, "A new Libya can send a strong statement to the world by declaring it will no longer be a haven for this convicted terrorist," unquote. But al-Awlaki replied that Schumer's statement had no meaning because Mr. Megrahi had already been tried and convicted. He added, quote, "We will not hand over any Libyan citizen. It was Gaddafi who handed over Libyan citizens," unquote. But he appeared to soften his tone in comments yesterday, noting the decision to release al-Megrahi was made by a sovereign government that has not requested his return. He deferred further action until after a new Libyan government is in place. In the meantime, al-Megrahi is reported to be slipping in and out of consciousness and near death. Up next on ANN, Brunswick's air show goes on despite Hurricane Irene. Rudy Deckers tries to get back on his financial feet. And pilots in New Zealand vote with their wallets. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, August 30th. I'm Paul Platt. Hurricane Irene has canceled over 12,000 airline flights so far, but it also cut short the Great State of Maine Air Show and Business Aviation Expo over the weekend. The air show with the intriguing name was scheduled at the former Naval Air Station Brunswick, which is being transitioned to Brunswick Executive Airport. The facility's best-known resident so far is Alan Klapmeyer's Kestrel Aircraft, which was also listed as a sponsor of this year's air show. The air show was far from the first held at the base. As many as 200,000 spectators in a year have attended previous events going back over decades. But last weekend's was the first for which there was an admission charge, reflective of its move into the private sector, as is the inclusion of Business Aviation Expo in the event's official name. The Bangor Daily News reports that while crowds were well below previous years, thousands still came out Friday and Saturday to see a lineup including the U.S. Navy Blue Angels, U.S. Army Golden Knights Parachute Team, and civilian performers including Julie Clark. Steve Levesque, director of the Midcoast Regional Redevelopment Authority, which is overseeing the transition, told the paper organizers bought insurance against a revenue shortfall, so there was no anxiety over the reaction to an admission charge or the impact of the hurricane. Maine has a disproportionately high percentage of retired military personnel among its population, which is always helpful when trying to promote an air show. But there were also protesters picketing outside the gates. The Bangor Daily News reports that at one point during the show, the PA announcer reminded the crowd, quote, "Freedom is not free. Today let's salute those who helped to preserve it," unquote, which brought a roar from the crowd which was almost as loud as the aircraft, and no doubt could be heard by the members of Code Pink Maine who were protesting outside. If I mention the name Rudy Deckers, you may draw a blank, but you probably remember his story. He's the guy who owned the flight school in Venice, Florida, which trained Mohammed Atta and Marwan al-Shehhi, who flew the two planes that hit the World Trade Center in New York on 9/11. He's currently promoting a book on the topic titled Guilty by Association, which he hopes will set the record straight. Decker says he endured death threats and was the victim of false rumors that he'd been friends with Atta and had even gone to a strip club with him while the terrorists trained at his flight school. Deckers claims he's lost a total of $12 million as a result of that association, and rumors, which included one about the hijacker specifically requesting to be taught to steer but not land Boeing airliners. In his book, Deckers tells his story of an entrepreneur who rose from beginnings living on a houseboat in the Netherlands with an alcoholic mother and authoritarian father. After a series of menial jobs, Decker says he made it big as a home developer and took up flying when his income afforded him the opportunity. He moved with his family to Florida at age 35 and never bothered to get a green card, so now he's in trouble with immigration, too. A partner financed his takeover of Huffman Aviation in Venice. He says Atta and al-Shehhi said they wanted to get their pilot certificates so they could get airline jobs back home in the Middle East, and that their arrival during the slow summer months promised to bring his flight school $40,000 in needed revenue. He says both men did earn pilot certificates. For all that he says other people did to him and 9/11 caused him unfairly, Deckers also has created some of his own problems. The St. Petersburg Times says he's left a trail of claims for unpaid bills, owes a fine for installing swimming pools in Florida without becoming a licensed contractor, and surrendered his pilot certificate to settle FAA allegations that he conducted unlicensed charter flights. He and his wife are awaiting a foreclosure notice after discontinuing mortgage payments on their 6,500-square-foot home in the gated La Vida community. He owes the IRS over $50,000. But his situation may not be hopeless. His book is generating interest and sales, and Deckers tells The Times, quote, "I have so many ideas to start a business. All my life I think outside the box. That's how I make money," unquote. And finally today, in the U.S., the federal government subcontracted weather briefings to Lockheed Martin a few years ago, but kept them free to pilots. In New Zealand, the Civil Aviation Authority has pulled its funding for briefings, and pilots now have to pay $100 a year to get them. Since the change took place on August 1st, the number of pilots subscribing to the service, called MetFlight, has dropped from 5,000 to just 277. TV New Zealand reports aviation groups in that country are concerned the trend will lead to more general aviation accidents, since weather is a causal factor in 1 in 5 mishaps there. TVNZ quotes recreational pilot Evan Wheeler, who says he'll get his weather from more generalized forecasts that are available free. Quote, "It's a matter of principle from my perspective. I consider as a taxpayer I'm already funding the government to supply those services. The cost of flying is increasing all the time, and it's getting beyond the pocket of a lot of retired pilots and younger people not wanting to get into the industry or recreation because of the sheer cost," unquote. Don Ryder of the New Zealand Aviation Federation urges pilots to reconsider. Quote, "You look at the costs of search and rescue exercises, and they run into millions straight away. And here we are talking about tens of thousands of dollars to contribute toward an important safety issue to avoid this sort of thing," unquote. Bill Summer of the CAA commented, quote, "I find it surprising that people are willing to fly around in a $250,000 aircraft and not be willing to meet their safety responsibilities and pay $100 a year to get a very, very good MET product," unquote. Winter is nearing its end in the Southern Hemisphere, and the CAA believes more pilots will resume using the service as summer nears. But if they don't? One News was told by Met Service that if the number of subscribers remains low, a rate increase beyond the $100 fee is not off the table. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.